Hello.
Hey there. Chris Russell here. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? And I see Michael there, but he's on mute.
Oh.
I unmuted him. Hello. Oh, I don't know if he can hear us.
Where's Michael calling in from?
South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, can I? Hi, Michael. Can you hear us? Nope. Doesn't look like it.
Well,
Right, I'll send a chat. Just send him a message saying I can see him but not hear him. And then who else just.
you.
Oh,
Sorry
okay. Sorry
about
that.
that. Hey,
Why
Michael, how
are.
are you? Chris Russell here.
Hey, pleasure to meet you. Doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You calling from North
Yeah.
Carolina?
South Carolina, Charleston.
South Carolina. That's where you're based, right?
In Charleston, South Carolina. Yep.
Beautiful town.
Where are you at? Grand Prairie. No.
Dallas, actually.
Dallas. Dallas.
Yeah, I live in Dallas. Yeah. Grew up
How
in
are
New
things
York.
there, man?
Hot. Hot.
Yeah, dude.
105 over the weekend and a little mid 90s today, so I think we're winter's almost here.
Not really. Not really,
Yeah,
but I like your optimism.
there you go.
And then I saw someone else hop on. So who else is here? Just so I can say hi.
Hi, Kate. This is Alexander from Quinn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How's everyone doing?
So far,
Great.
so good.
Awesome.
All right, I'm gonna give I let the PR folks know that they're welcome to join in, so I'm gonna give them like another minute. But in the meantime, guys, just take it easy. We can just chat this through and we'll be able to do some cleaning up after the fact. So if you like get started on a question and you're like, I don't like the way I'm sounding, and you want to start over, that's totally cool. Or if you like botch a word or something, no biggie.
Okay.
But yeah, and then we're aiming to have this up later this week. So don't worry about saying things since I've had a few people who are really concerned that things are changing so quickly. I'm not sure if I'm saying the right thing. This will be out there quite soon, so you don't really have to worry about that.
Okay.
Unless a cure comes tomorrow, and hopefully it does. But all right, cool. So I'm just going to get started. I'm going to jump into the questions. Chris and Michael, if you want to talk to each other, go for it. If you want to ask each other questions, that's awesome too. So I'm just going to jump right in. And we'll see how this goes. It'll go fine.
Cool.
So the COVID-19 crisis has stretched on much longer than anyone originally anticipated. How has your pandemic strategy changed since April and May? And do you think it's going to change even further in the fall? Chris, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. Well, I think when the pandemic hit, there were really three priorities for us. And what we thought was going to be a 90 to 150 day problem is obviously longer. But I think the three things that we really focused on at first were, one, the guests and employees and the safety. And two is really the impact of our business. And three is just making sure that our owners and investors were comfortable with directionally what we were doing, what we wanted to recommend. If you kind of go back, really our bigger picture strategy early on the guests and employees was, of course, the safety issue. I mean, nobody knew what to expect. We had to over communicate. We continuously try to stay on top of the CDC guidance, which was changing daily, as we all know. And then really getting those guidelines in place for cleaning, disinfecting, distancing, and training the staff. Trying to secure supplies from vendors was difficult at first. There was a run on sanitizers, as everybody knows. You couldn't find it anywhere. And of course, everybody was telling me to put out sanitizer, but it wasn't there. You know, I think the most important thing was really establishing the standards of care and the process in case a guest or employee gets sick. I mean, obviously it was new territory to us. We wanted to appropriately handle it. In order to do some of this, we really developed an internal website to keep track of all this. I mean, we were getting guidance from the CDC, AHLA, states, brands, the whole bit. So we just found one place to put all of the information together because it was really kind of hard to keep up with. You know, our business strategy had to be fluid. We had a lot of cancellations, as I know everybody did. We tried to rebook as much as we could, although we had limited success with that since it was kind of unknown. I think most people canceled, you know, the first 3-4 months out and didn't really focus on the back half of the year because I think people generally had the confidence that, you know, they could easily book again. Working through contract issues, we had to be very flexible, force majeure clauses. You know, none of the contracts really, you know, dealt with the pandemic. So, you know, I think that was pretty difficult. And of course, the layoffs. I mean, like the industry, we had a lot of layoffs and we thought they would be temporary, but they turned out to be, you know, a lot more permanent than we thought. You know, the good news is the brands were helpful. They gave us some relief. But, you know, as it relates to our partners and our investors, we really went and did line-by-line analysis and said, listen, if we close the hotel, here's what it's going to cost. If we keep the hotel open, here's what it's going to cost. So all of that initially was very reactive, of course, because it happens so fast. And, you know, not too different, I'm sure, from what everybody else had to go through. And, you know, it's changed. I mean, right now we have a much longer window than what we thought was 90 to 150 days. It's, you know, could be 6 months, 12 months, and longer. And we have more time to think and more time to plan right now because we're not reacting as much. But, you know, there's still a lot to do and there's a lot of unknowns out there.
Absolutely. And Michael, what's your experience been?
Well, you know, obviously April, May, and June was really all about the, you know, to Chris's point, cleanliness and cancellation messaging was a critical piece. You know, daily calls with all operations team, just about owner messaging, what owners are, you know, having trouble on loans and funds, obviously the connectivity of PPP and how that relates to each hotel and helping the owners walk through that. You know, so in vendor negotiations, right, going to every single vendor and asking for, you know, 3 months on services basically for those months. So there is that side, and the cleanliness and cancellation will be around for a long time. I think more so, and we're an independent hotel company, so, you know, we have over 50 hotels that are independent, right? So we don't necessarily rely on any other brands to help push information through. So from a marketing standpoint, we really had to put a lot of energy and did a massive bounce back strategy starting in May, which basically was cyber-esque and, you know, flash sale-esque, but for an extreme amount of long time in just about every digital channel imaginable. And it really works, thankfully. Yes, there was a lot of cancellations on those bookings too, but April, May, and June was all of that in one. It's like I've had two kids and, you know, I know like when you have a kid, the first like 120 days, you kind of don't remember because you're sleep deprived and everything's happening. So that's what it felt like to me, whereas like I can't even remember those 3 months. I literally can't. And I think, you know, July, August, and September have been interesting where, you know, a lot of our hotels were open and then they closed and then they reopened. Some stayed open, all a mixture of that. But in July, August, September, we've had all hotels open. And so we really used some of the same marketing strategies as we did in the bounce back, but really pushed more about content and programming. So what can be done outdoors? What can be done remotely? And then again, supplying them information about our cleanliness and cancellation policies. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Moving into October and December, we'll start focus on, instead of mass marketing and mass communication, we'll start doing more segmented promotions to different types of guests based on, you know, their needs and what we need to fill the hotel. All of that being taken under consideration, really the core piece has been owner relations like never before. Yes, we always were in touch with our owners and had calls and went over P&L, but we're talking to our owners on a daily basis and supporting them all the way through. And really, it's going to take two to tango here, and we're trying to help them, and they're sticking with us. And so it's really improved our owner relations in this tragedy. It's really helped us connect with our owners and make sure they know we have their back.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you know, I think also, in addition, you know, and Michael mentioned it, that the communication of the hotel teams and the guests and the clients and going above and beyond, making sure that you have that touch point with them and the daily calls has been critical. And, you know, you think about the disinfectant, we do have the brands, and we're all but a couple of our hotels are branded. And, you know, the brands would come out with a program because they wanted to be the first out, and it didn't necessarily line up with the CDC guidance. And then another brand would come out with a program, and then the CDC guidance changed. And now it's almost like I've used this as an example. It's like the disinfecting, the standards, the protocol going forward for the next 1 to 2 years is very much like the technology was the last decade. All the brands starting to compete with each other. Can you top this? And, you know, well, you got an electrostatic, you know, cleaner. Oh yeah, well, we've got an electrostatic too. And I just think my fear is that, you know, all of a sudden there's going to be a run-up of programs like that that you're going to have to compete with and stay on top of. Because, you know, truth is, and to their defense, nobody really knows and nobody really knew. So everybody's learning at the same time.
Right.
So what have been some of the biggest challenges that you guys have faced? You mentioned the layoffs. You mentioned keeping up with the standards. Michael, why don't you start? What's the biggest issue you've encountered?
Well, you know, especially those first 3 months, we were doing daily forecasts. It was an exhausting effort, you know, at the corporate level. We've since gone to biweekly forecasts. But that's definitely been the most challenging, literally changing forecasts and changing, you know, cash flow analysis on a daily basis based on hotels closing, opening, government restrictions that, you know, cancel triple digits in cancellations. So it's been a real challenge on the forecast side. I think, you know, one thing we've done at the corporate office here, and we house all of our marketing, revenue management, and quite a few other functions and support our hotels. We've done no corporate layoffs, something we're really proud of. And trust me, it's been a very tough thing to do from a cash flow standpoint, but we've really believed in, you know, keeping the nucleus of our corporate support for the hotels. And so the cash flow and forecasting, I think, has been a big challenge, you know, a little softer challenge that's not as dire, but it definitely impedes innovation and connectivity and collaboration. Is, you know, we have a real strong connection here between our hotels and the corporate office. And so going remote and going digital, it's, you know, there's great benefits to everyone working remotely at home, but I have seen, you know, more of those organic strategic conversations that create innovation just not happen. And so you almost have to like schedule strategy and schedule innovation. And sometimes that's not the best thing. And so when you combine that with obviously not being able to do celebrations and gatherings and, you know, sort of connectivity between human beings, which is a thing that I think we can't lose sight of, it really has affected us. Now, we've done all we can in terms of connecting us and overriding those things. But yes, going remote and digital, I think, hurts innovation in some regards.
Chris, what about you?
You know, I don't think that our team has worked so hard for 20% occupancy it felt like we were running 90%. And I think everybody's learned an awful lot by this. And I think that, you know, I've gone through a couple of downturns, but, you know, never would I have thought that it was this significant, this fast for this long. I think what's been challenging is the perpetual changing guidance from CDC and trying to react and trying to communicate that the employees and the guests, state changes, guidance, the shutdowns and the openings of the states, all of a sudden they're open and they're closed. And, you know, so that's been a little bit of a challenge. Staffing's been a challenge. You know, I mean, you're trying to bring employees back. You know, we had a little bit of a summer surge, like I'm sure Michael did. But it's been a bit of a challenge trying to get people back in the door. You know, a little bit of fear, a little bit of unemployment benefits offset, which I think was good for everybody. But nonetheless, it was a little bit of a fear to come back. You know, adapting to the food service. And adapting to the new concepts. Go ahead.
I concur so much. I think that's so well said. And we have the same issues there. I'll give me a good example. Even this weekend, last weekend that just happened, right, where the government is saying you can visit from certain states, and then you can't, just totally changing. We were sold out at a hotel in Newport, Rhode Island, set to have a pretty darn good weekend in their typical peak season. Well, then there's sort of government guidance saying, you know, early in the week that, you know, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, a couple other states, you can't visit Rhode Island anymore. And over $100,000 in cancellations, literally, that day. And then later on that week, they changed their story a bit and said, no, well, you can visit. And so trying to recoup that cancellation, it was just we were calling every guest, and we didn't recruit close to even 30% of it. And so I get why they're having to do things, and they definitely have the public in mind, right? But trying to navigate the offs and ons, the closings, the openings, which states you can visit, which ones you got to have a 14-day cure. It's been a constant uphill battle to try and navigate this situation.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think the other challenge is that, you know, we've got, you know, trying to rebook or trying to get clients to come back. And right now there's just a lot of concern about, you know, if I'm a meeting planner, if I'm a, you know, in charge of a company booking a meeting, what does that look like? Am I putting my employees at risk? I'm putting them on a plane, going to a hotel? And, you know, what liability are they responsible for? And what safety issues are responsible for? So I think that's a big issue right now as well. And, you know, listen, it's been, I haven't really talked a lot about it in the media, but I think more than anything out of this whole thing, it's a displacement of so many employees. They have worked so hard for so many years, and we can't tell them when they'll be back. You know, to me, it's really unfortunate struggle that nobody's really highlighting, and it's not really talked about in the news or publicly, or very little, or it's talked in different contexts. And, you know, on the flip side, you know, I think the good news is we've got a lot of great employees in the hotel, kind of like the unsung heroes who are on the front lines of our hotels. They show up every day. They're committed. They have guest interaction. They don't have the opportunity to sit and stay home and wait this out. They have the most interaction with our guests and the general public, and they don't really have to be there, but we're lucky to have them. And I think that that's a, you know, a good thing that's come out of this.
Excellent. Guys, sorry to interrupt, but was there any interruption at all? I lost my connection for a minute and had to hop back on.
No, all good.
Oh, thank God.
So.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I think so.
you missed my meltdown, so that's good.
Yeah. No.
So to get back on track. So as the pandemic continues, how do you simultaneously focus on survival and positioning for recovering? And how do you keep in mind all of the people that you're managing at the same time?
You know, I'll start. The way we're looking at it is it's almost like opening a new hotel. You know, I think you need to over-communicate with our guests and employees, your current clients, your future clients. I think if you approach it, you got to be aggressive in sales. You got to control your costs. You don't spend what you don't have, and you don't hire until you need. I think if you make the hotel teams part of the process and rebuild the business together, and they're all vested, you know, they've gone through a lot together. Our teams are going to be the best recruiters of business and be best recruiters of employees. And the recognition has to continue. You know, I think that's an important component. We, in our company, we lost our annual recognition / general managers meeting this year because it was scheduled early April. And we ended up doing a Zoom celebration for everybody. And we did the same thing with the, you know, the big old head cutouts and stuff like that. And I think a lot of hotels are doing a lot of things like that to celebrate their staffs, you know, just keeping people motivated.
Great. And Michael, what about you?
I think, you know, as from a survival standpoint, I'll talk a little bit about our revenue strategy, but, and it's not ideal. We like to be more longer term strategic, but we're really looking at analytics and adjusting short-term strategies almost on a daily basis. We are treating 21 and 22 almost like rebound years, but really the future, I think, is completely unpredictable. And because of that unpredictability, we have held our traditional pricing strategies. We aren't jumping up, jumping down at extremes. And the hope is that the rest of the industry follows suit. And I've seen a lot of brands actually surprisingly hold rate in a lot of regards. And I think that's the way to go. Until things are a little more predictable, just let's hold some of our pricing strategies. You know, I think a lot of our hotels have taken this time to do some small renovations that are guest facing. So owners who had a little capital on hand, they were smart and said, all right, how can we do certain things that when people are back, we've done a positive in guest facing renos. Another part of trying to survive is more on the food and beverage side. Number one, we've kind of evaluated all of our F&B outlets and making sure the branding and the messaging and the food concepts and the safety protocols are all aligned for now and the future, because I don't think a lot of those things are going away. More importantly, we've put a lot of energy into technology on the carryout experience. I have to admit, we really didn't have that many carryout strategies, and especially on the tech side, in place, because people were just coming to our restaurants and guests were staying. So we have put a significant effort into carryout technology, because again, we don't think that necessarily is going to go all the way when things recover. And so those are kind of the things we're trying to survive through that actually we think won't go away once things recover.
You know, it's funny, Michael, just kind of a side note. I'm kind of predisposed to be a germaphobe anyway, and I haven't eaten at a fan in about 15 years. And everybody's been looking at me like in 15 years, like, well, I'm just going to do that. And I like to think I'm ahead of the time right now when you talk about
being able to eat. You're a pioneer.
That's right. You know, I think, and I agree with all that, absolutely. The food and beverage thing is very, very key, and how to think about it differently. And Michael mentioned it before, just the meeting space alone, where you had 400 people in a meeting before, it's down to 100 now or something. And, you know, that doesn't appear to be changing anytime soon. So all of a sudden, you've got to kind of think about your business mix differently, because you didn't go out and build more meeting space during the pandemic to accommodate. So it's a little bit of a challenge. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
Looks like Kate's joining.
Hey guys, sorry, my connection keeps shorted out again. I've plugged into my hotspot, so I should be good.
Did we put you to sleep?
Oh my God,
I do that sometimes.
Someone apparently came to our house to do something with the electricity, and They assured us that there were no shortages, nothing was going to happen, and it's been like that was at 1:09, and the last 15 minutes have been killing me.
Funny.
You're okay. So the last question I have for you guys, and I know you don't have a crystal ball, is when do you see the pandemic ending, and when do you think the industry will begin to bounce back? Because you're doing all these preparations, but you can't, like, you're really shooting in the dark at this point.
True. And there are smarter people than me that can make those predictions, but I can tell you, it's no surprise that confidence in air travel is going to be key. You know, I might make a political statement, but we have to get past the elections. We have to get past the politicians and the media pundits on both sides, because it's become such mm-hmm. a divisive, polarizing issue that affects confidence. And it contributes to the confusion. We're kind of internally planning that this year is kind of a write-off. And I don't want to say write-off in terms of, you know, minimizing costs but maximizing revenue. We're trying to do the best we can. But I do think that, you know, for planning purposes for us, we're kind of thinking that we're going to have a bit of a rough Q1, maybe a bit of a rebound in Q2, but we feel pretty confident about the second half of next year. You know, it's, you know, whether it be vaccine or therapeutics or whatever, you know, I think that people will get used to the new normal. And I think they're going to have to. There's, you know, people are too impatient. People need to be out there. People need to be making money. They need to be traveling. And I don't think that we're going to be sitting here a year from today wondering where the business is. It's not going to be back to 2019, but I think that we're going to have a little bit more confidence this time next year.
Great. And Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, first of all, well said. And I agree. I don't think many people, there's a lot of people that just are not going to travel until a vaccine's in place or the mainstream media begins to report maybe some positive trends or news or factual data. And that's on both sides. And I agree on the news and the politics. It couldn't hurt us more, because it definitely affects confidence. And especially when, you know, you turn it on one channel and they say one thing, and then on another and they say something else. It's so confusing. And I think until, like, there's a actual, yes, we have a vaccine, and yes, it's positive news, I don't see much coming back, especially related to the flying patterns. I think as an industry, to us, and it's maybe a little less optimistic, and man, I hope Chris Wright is, I think 2023 seems to be our full year mark. We believe we'll see glimpses of 2019 in all of our seasonal markets next summer, and really think that there'll be a rolling 12-month performance for heavy leisure markets that return to baseline, I think, between 21 and 22. Thankfully, a lot of our hotels are secondary markets, remote destinations, resorts that are all leisure heavy. And so we feel pretty confident about that. What I can tell you, and I don't have a crystal ball either, is I'm really worried for the heavy group business. I don't think it ever comes back to the way it was in 18 and 19. And I hope I'm wrong there. Maybe group business optimizes and gets back up in 23, 24. I just am, you know, for those big group houses and major city destinations, I just don't see it coming back even post-vaccine for quite a while. And that's a scary thought. But again, I hope I'm wrong on that. I do, like I said, on a positive note, see some cool things from a leisure standpoint. I mean, even this year, even in losing occupancy in some of our seasonal markets, we actually beat NOI year over year, just being real smart on expenses. And so hopefully that continues. And I think, you know, just in general, until things come back, we got to continue to fine tune our service and programming. And that's what we've done at all of our hotels. We still, as an independent hotelier company, we got to deliver that creative service and amenities and programming in a COVID world. So, like, even examples like French Quarter Inn, it's here in Charleston, actually second year in a row, got number one hotel on TripAdvisor. And they did these lavish wine and cheeses and these lavish creative food and beverage components throughout the day. Well, now we're not doing any of that, but we're actually delivering components of that direct to rooms. So our labor is extremely high. It's exhaustingly high, but we're also coming lower in food costs. So if you can find things like that where you're still elevating service to some level and figure out a way to at least break even or don't lose money, I think that's a good solve for the next, you know, 6 to 12 months while this all gets figured out.
Yeah. And I agree on the group business. It's going to be a bit of a challenge for a while, especially with the constraints on people in meetings and what they can attend. And just, we need to think about the business differently on a go forward basis. You know, we have taken mm-hmm. some time to look at ourselves internally. It's not a difficult business, but it is going to be, have to be serviced differently. We're looking at all of our internal programs and processes and say, let's just get all the stuff that doesn't make a difference out of the way. Let's use this time to kind of regroup, rethink, and, you know, be able to prepare and, you know, try to be ahead or at least up with the new way of doing business. And, you know, I absolutely concur with Michael's comments. I think that, you know, I think it's a good job of articulating that.
Well, guys, thank you so much for hopping on this call and sharing your thoughts, and hopefully I'll be able to see you in person soon.
Well, hopefully we were helpful.
You most even certainly
though you missed
were.
Half of it, even though you missed half of it, that's okay. Well, yeah, I'm kidding you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys again.
Hey, Michael, thank
this
you.
Was
Look
great.
Forward to meeting you as well soon.
Likewise, man. See you.
Take care.
All right. Take care, everyone. Doing? Bye.
Bye.